This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, March 13, 2016, Passion Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Forget what lies behind, strain forward to what lies ahead. This is one of those homilies that can kind of go on the foot of what we talked about last week. Last week we talked about the new creation in Christ Jesus, our Lord, but it's different enough to where you're not going to miss anything if you weren't here last week. What we talked about in this new creation is that we, because you are a new creation, new creature, things should change. Things should change in the way you view things. Your perspectives should change. I pointed out a little list last week. You know, the way we think, the way our sentiments are oriented, our actions should change after we come to our Lord Jesus Christ. They should change. Serious problem if they do not. They should change. We should have a new perspective. And this new perspective is where I want to go today, or where the Holy Spirit goes today, on this new perspective, because it is a perspective for us that we need to appreciate, and that is the perspective of we are always looking forward. Always looking forward. We don't have a problem at all with what Paul says first when he says, forget what lies behind. We're all up in that. Okay, we should be, anyway. Everything that comes from the past, before you come to Christ, before the realization hits you that this stuff is real, you know, there really is a heaven and a hell, and right this very moment, thousands of people are being cast into hell. I need to make sure it doesn't happen to me. All right? And we love the fact, great thing of the gospel, that we don't have to worry about what has been in the past. The Holy Spirit tells us that. We don't need to hear a whole lot about that because we like that part. We like this deal about not having things held to our account. But this looking forward, it is not just a matter of, oh boy, heaven's coming. That's not it at all. That's not it at all. You got to work for that. Before we even start, let's kind of get our mind in the right place here. Where I want us to go is it's Christian athleticism. Everybody, whether you played sports or not, everybody knows about sports. To get good at something, what do you have to do? You got to practice. You got to practice, and you got to work at it to get good. Sports, musical instruments, whatever. You got to practice. That's what the Holy Spirit is telling us through St. Paul in this passage. This forward-looking perspective is forward indeed. Ever forward. Don't ever get presumptuous. But we'll talk about a little bit how Paul dashes presumption in this reading. Our walk with Christ is ever moving forward. We cannot rely on, well, I know I'm saved because I went to this tent meeting, or I heard this guy speak, or I walked the aisle, or I signed the card, or I said the sinner's prayer, or I go to Mass every Sunday. That's not enough. That's not enough. We have to, as Paul says, strain forward to what lies ahead. We cannot be presumptuous. As I said before, I get that little list about things that should change with us. All those things that we should set aside, and some of those things are not inherently sinful, but they can be distractions. You know, some things that we do, they're fun. You know, they're so fun, we want to do them all the time. In every waking spare moment that we have, whatever it might be, hobbies, this, the interest, whatever, gardening, who knows? Not inherently sinful, any one of them. Actually, kind of fun on occasion, within reason. You cannot let them distract you from the faith. I get a whole lot of, I haven't seen you in Mass in a while. Oh, I got this, I got that, I got... That's a distraction. That's a distraction. Can be an idol. It's a distraction. Sometimes you got to let things go. Even things we like. Paul says, I count everything as loss. I have suffered the loss of all things. I mean, he's one of the ones, his vocation was give up everything. Truly, give up everything. But he says, I like the sanitized, new, very churchy version, the newer English versions. I've suffered loss for all things. I count them as refuse. Refuse, garbage. Paul doesn't say he counts them as refuse or garbage. He says, I count them as dung. That's the way I look at the old stuff. The stuff that I may have had to give up. It is so much dung for me. That's how up in your face Paul says that this change needs to be. This letting this old stuff go and looking forward. As I said before, it's a matter of moving forward. It's a matter of, we love this term, our walk with Christ. Our walk of faith. St. John Chrysostom. St. John Chrysostom. You know, I always validate everything I say by other people because who am I? He is St. John Chrysostom. And he says, it is not enough to believe or have the true faith, but we must strive and labor. We must strive and labor. It is not enough to, well, I believe in God. I believe everything he said. St. John says, that's not enough. I go to Mass. I go to Mass during the week sometimes. You have the true faith. That's not enough. We must strive and labor in our faith. This flies in the face of what some of your friends who are, most of them are outside the Catholic Church, but unfortunately it's creeping into the Catholic Church. I shouldn't say creeping in. It's kind of up in our face in a lot of different places. That it is a matter of striving in your faith. Our faith is a faith of action. Our faith is a faith of works. Our works don't get us into heaven, that we got to work to strive to get there. Jesus has paved that way for us. We need to stay on that way. It is not enough to believe or have the true faith, but we must strive and labor. That's this whole straining thing that St. Paul talks about. Our faith is a faith of sacrifice. I actually had a story told to me a couple times over the past week that there was a homily preached recently that said, it's not about sacrifice. Your faith is about love. That sounds real nice. It's just unfortunately not what God says about your faith. He says that you need to strain forward to what lies ahead. Why? Why do I have to strain? Why should I practice? Why should I have to do anything? Why should I put myself out? Is it enough that Jesus died for me? He did his part. Now you do yours. Paul gives us reasons why. You know, we can why until we're blue in the face sometimes, but every now and then the Holy Spirit actually tells us why. Why do you have to strive? Why do you have to sacrifice? St. Paul says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, why? That I may know him, Jesus Christ. That I may become like him, Jesus Christ. Not that I have already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on. I work. Why do we not like to hear that about our faith? Why do we not like to hear that we got to work for something like that? We got no problem whatsoever at working for stuff in this world. We'll put ourselves out tremendously for things. Sports. Like, you don't play sports? You know somebody that did. Does. Sports. Yeah. This whole thing, let's put the context. Paul says, we're here, but we're not completely there yet. That doesn't make sense. That sounds like a contradiction. Really? Sports. You try out for the team, fill in the blank, whatever it is. tried out for the team, I make it. They give me a uniform, they give me the stuff that I need, I go buy the stuff that I need, whatever. I'm on the team, I made it. And then you show up for your first practice. And the coach says, okay, we're going to run for a while, then we're going to go and work out, then we're going to work on some basic technique. Everybody gets up and you sit there. Hey, get up, we're going to... No. What? No. I made the team. I'm on the team. Yeah. I don't do any of that stuff. See how long that flies with the coach. See how long you last on the team. I was thinking about that analogy, and I was thinking about myself. And I enlisted in the Marine Corps when I was like, as soon as I could, as soon as I turned 17, I did the late entry program. So like for a year, I'm, you know, yeah, I'm going to be in the Marine. They gave you t-shirts. U.S. Marines. Yeah. Tough guy. I'm in the Marine Corps. He's going to the Marines Corps. Yeah. It's cool. Guess what? As soon as you set foot, and you are in the Marine Corps, you sign a contract, you're in the Marine Corps. As soon as you set foot on Paris Island, you immediately know you ain't nowhere near a Marine. You're on the team, but guess what? And for 13 weeks, they emphasize tremendously the fact that you are not a Marine. All right? That's the way it works. You're there, you're not there yet. Okay? And even once we're there, even after the stuff is over, the practicing and everything, you know, I'm pretty well settled. I like this. Can you still stop? You know, that whole what have you done for me lately thing crops up. Yeah. Let's get away from military and sports because everybody in here has a job or goes to school or has in their life had a job or gone to school. Right? You're there. You work there 10 years. You go to school for however long. You're at work, and it's Monday morning, and you walk in there, and you put your head on the desk. And the boss comes in and says, hey, we got this going on, this going on, this going on today. Yeah, okay, head out on the desk. Comes in an hour later, hey, guy, I said we got the... Yeah, I heard you. Well, let's get on. I've been here for 10 years. You know, I've proved I can do it. Let's go. How long's that going to last? No time. Usually go to school, you know? How about that? Yeah. Okay, put your books away. We're going to take a quiz. I took a quiz last week. I passed it. That's good. See how far that goes. How come in our earthly life, we're good? That's the way things are. We approach eternity. We approach what we're supposed to do for heaven, and all of a sudden, we can get lazy. We can lay our head down on a desk. I'm here. That is not the way it works. We've got to knock this presumption thing out of our head. This once saved, always saved trash. That's exactly what it is. It's trash. It's Protestant. It is not true. It is not scriptural. Bottom line, that's all there is to it. Saint Paul, he talked to Jesus personally. He talked to Jesus Christ. He and Jesus had a they had the literal and up in your face come to Jesus meeting. All right. He spoke to our Lord. And then he writes 2/3 of the New Testament. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. We're all caught up in Peter, the first pope. You hardly ever hear about Peter without having St. Paul tacked onto him. That's how important St. Paul is to the church. And St. Paul says that he wants to share in the sufferings of Christ and become like him in his death, that if possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. If possible. That's St. Paul. Talk to Jesus. If possible, I may attain the resurrection of the dead. For us to sit here and go, I don't have to worry about anything because Jesus died for my sins. I don't have to do a thing. Well, you're better than St. Paul because he says that if it may be possible that I attain the resurrection from the dead. Our walk with Christ is not easy. It's not supposed to be easy. It flies in the face of the Christian bookstore postcards and posters with the footprints on the beach thing. Our walk with Jesus Christ is not a walk down the beach. Our walk with Jesus Christ, the Via Crucis, the way of the cross, the stations of the cross. That's your walk with Christ. I tell people this a lot of times, usually individually, when we're talking about suffering or something bad that's going on. And you always hear that cliche, offer it up. Okay? That's not a cliche. It's true. We do offer things up. But what is the offering? The offering is, that's the only time in our lives, and it only has to do with suffering and bad stuff, that we can truly look at a crucifix and go, I know what you're feeling. You get sick, you have an accident, you're dying, you can't breathe. Yeah. You can look at a crucifix and go, Jesus Christ, I know how you felt. I know. I don't think about, I don't conjecture. I know how you felt. Betrayal. Yeah. Oh, that's one thing Jesus did, because my husband this, my wife that, my kids that, my parents this, good friends of mine. Really? Yeah, he didn't know anything about that. Good friend of his turned him over so he could hang on a cross, be beaten, spat upon. Another good friend denied him 3 times because some little girl said, yeah, you were with him. And then all the rest of his friends ran away from him when he needed them most. He didn't know anything about betrayal. You're never going to one-up Jesus on anything that's going on. But when we suffer, that's the only time when we can objectively and truly engage with Jesus Christ. When we can look at a crucifix and go, I know how he felt. You cannot, I don't think any of you have raised the dead. I haven't heard of any of you walking on the water. We know those things, we believe those things, we take those things in faith. But when we suffer, that is when our faith becomes real, because that's the only time in our lives when we can really be like Jesus Christ. Our way with him, our walk with him, is the way of the cross. And we're up. What is walking? It's moving forward. All right? When you're on your walk with Christ, the way of the cross, you do not stop. You do not turn back. You do not go off course. You go off course. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When we hear that terminology, the way, you know, in English it could be, it's ambiguous. I'm the way. That's the way I do something. What do you mean by that? The way I do something. He doesn't mean that. He means the way, the via, in Spanish, camino, the trail, the path that leads to heaven. I am the path. I am the camino that leads to heaven. You get off that path, you're not going to heaven. I am the, definite article, way to heaven. No one gets to the Father but through me. And if you go off that course, you're on something else. We got to stay on the path of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter how slow the progress may be. One of the early church fathers says it's better to hobble along the way than to turn and run on any other route. As long as you're on the way, you can be limping, you can be slow, you can be walking on your hands and knees, you can be dragging yourself on your belly. But as long as you are progressing inch by inch forward, you're doing okay. You start running along another path, you're moving right along to somewhere else. You're not getting to the Father, because the only way you do that is through Jesus Christ. That is what he means by straining forward to what lies ahead. We all aspire to that. But have it in the back of your mind, St. Paul's words, that if possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Because there's always that possibility that we may not. As we finish up Lent, as it starts to get harder, hopefully it's getting harder, hopefully it's getting really old for you by now, you're on that road. You can, in some little small way, because of what you've given up or what you've added to yourself, understand him a little bit more. That's what it's about. That's the straining. Because we need to strain forward to what lies ahead. In the Father and in the Son.